You've just entered the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. If you've come for actual legal advice, you need to turn right around, honey. You need to get out of here, because you ain't going to get none of that. They quibble, and they squabble, and they bicker. But if you want to hear meaningless opinions, this is the right place. They got plenty of that. Stuff that makes no sense at all. They go off on tangents. It's crazy talk. If that's your thing, keep listening. They'll keep talking. All right, welcome back. It is July 22nd, 2020. We are returned to the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. And our client today is TV shows versus the movies. What the hell does that mean?
Well, I was thinking about this client because I've noticed in my lifetime, TVs have kind of surpassed movies as far as like adult good drama. That's popular. There's still a lot of great little indie films. They rarely like even make it to your local, you know, theater. They're on cable a lot and they're small. TV has major blockbusters that are really like Sopranos, The Wire, the past 20 years. All these great shows, Breaking Bad. They're better than anything the movies are dishing out, I think. But when we were kids, TV was just a morass of shit.
I don't know if you can compare.
There's barely anything on TV.
Obviously, those shows are really good shows, but you can't really give a good comparison because they're given the latitude of full seasons or even multiple seasons to really flesh out the storylines. I mean, it's great that the quality is upped on those, and there's certainly plenty of examples of great TV shows, but it's rare. I think it's because of that format that things have been able to get better.
Well, Roots wasn't that good, and Rich Man, Poor Man, I remember those miniseries when we were kids, they had the latitude to tell a long-form story. It's a great idea, just that in itself.
Well, Roots was like a groundbreaking thing.
It was groundbreaking, but yeah. It's really not great cinema. Have you watched it again? Do you ever want to watch it? It was important sociologically, historically, for us to learn our history. But it's not like this great film.
I remember when Roots came out, because we did watch it when we were home.
Because back then
there was, four channels. And I remember, like, as a kid, the one scene where the woman spits into the guy's coffee or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, like, relaying this, and I think it was, like, around 10 years old when Roots came out, relaying this to my 80-year-old aunt who happened to be there. And she's like, of course, all you little kids, you're going to be stuck on the fact when she's spitting into the mug. She didn't really talk like that, but I just thought that's my old lady voice.
That's the old lady voice?
That's right.
If she's a robot old lady?
That particular aunt, she had like a bobblehead thing too. So.
I don't think the spitting in the coffee.
I love that scene too. I think her name was Sissy, the character. That was Sissy did that to the
yeah,
to Sandy
that,
Duncan's character.
There's like five or six scenes that I think recall from that miniseries. But anyway, you know, along the way, there have been other kind of groundbreaking. Remember the program Holocaust that was on television way back when? That was the first time I'd ever seen full frontal nudity in a network television show.
But weren't they like concentration camp survivors?
Yeah, but still,
you know,
that
nudity.
I know, but it was actually seen on network television.
You never watched the National Geographic specials where they'd show naked people in Borneo and stuff?
What?
And like PBS they'd show.
I know, but it's different. That wasn't white folks.
Emaciated, starving white folks.
Right, that's how they got away with it, you know.
Yeah.
They used some weird
tribal. There's some sort of tribal clause. If you're not part of a first world economy, then you can run around naked.
Yeah, who knows? That was just. I think I'm sure it's probably something stemming out of Jim Crow or from
third world tits aren't obscene. That's what it is.
I know.
The obscenity statutes say that.
And that, now it's like, you know, that's something that could get you fined from the FCC if you had something similar on network television. You know?
Yeah.
I don't remember Roots at all. And I'm sitting here listening to you guys going, why don't I remember that? I'm sure I watched it, but nothing. Nothing in the noggin.
Well, what's your actual age, Brendan?
I'm 51.
Okay, so you're 3 years younger than me. At the time, like I said, I was around 10, so you would have been around 7 years old. So it might not have been that meaningful, but I also was raised in a family that was Jewish, and so we had a little more connection to discrimination
because of that, and I think that's probably why it may have been more interesting. Or maybe your family life just sucked, and they didn't want you watching anything of importance. I don't know.
I think my mom was just mostly smoking Territons and watching MASH.
Okay, well, you know, MASH is a great television show, too.
But great, though, compared to what we get now. It was great for its time, yes. It was a good
show. That's, but what I'm saying is we're it's almost like we're saying, you know, that there were these amazing television shows that broke ground at their time. MASH, All in the Family was pretty groundbreaking at its time.
Definitely, yeah.
And there were others.
Hill Street Blues
is another good example. Are the current television shows that are really great just one building on that groundbreaking stuff? So television is progressing in its art form, whereas movies are digressing in their art form. And is that about economics? Because now, you know, there's a lot of competition in TV. Back then, you know, you either watched MASH or Roots or, you know, you went to bed.
Yeah, or whatever was on, you know, the fuzzy channel on UHF that you would, like, move the antennas around to try to get a signal and go, I think I want to see this. And then it's like Johnny Sacco and his flying robot. And
but the majority of stuff was the Donnie and Marie Funtime Hour and Happy Days, like utter dreck, Charlie's Angels. Like that was 90%. It was pretty unwatchable unless you were eight. Like any adult, I can't believe adults had to watch that shit. And did. Because they did. They were number one shows.
So there was something about them that made them number one shows, or was it just that everything competing against them just was even worse?
Well, for the most part, people like dumb shit. I mean, look at top 40 music. The things that are popular usually aren't the smartest stuff. But now there is these options.
60 Minutes is always like the top of its slot for like...
That's a good news show, yeah. But I'm saying all these shows we're talking about at the time, none of them were even close to the best movies. And these movies were number one. Like Taxi Driver was a huge moneymaker. Deer Hunter, these great films. Like, yeah, the best episode of MASH.
What are you like? Your only favorite movies are Scorsese movies, Greg? Is that why you're
Deer Hunter is not Scorsese?
Let's try this. Michael Cimino.
Yes, no, there was a lot of great movies back then. The Godfather, like the best thing on TV.
Oh, so it's all Italian. It's all Italian associated.
Hey, what's the matter with that? Hey,
Deer Hunter, Cimino, and also like was it De Niro?
Apparently, De Niro was the best director.
Godfather.
My people were the best at this.
Also had De Niro in it. I think it's basically coming down to, like, you only like movies with De Niro or Christopher Walken in them.
Any Italians in it. Yeah. That's all I want to see.
You could probably just watch a movie that was like the documentary about spaghetti, and you'd be like, I'm good. This is all I need really for a movie.
Roberto Benigni is my all-time favorite actor of all time.
Roberto, as Pinocchio?
He's so cute. As anything. He could play Mussolini in a film. I'd watch it. It'd
you know,
great.
He would be like Charlie Chaplin playing Mussolini in a film if he did that.
Yeah, like The Great Dictator.
Right.
But I think back then, now there's so much shit that there's no movie out there that I'd rather see than the newest season of, like, Better Call Saul or, you know, back in the day, you know, The Wire, Breaking Bad. All these shows were way better than anything that movies were offering me.
Well,
and not just because the long form.
Well, I mean, Sopranos kind of broke the mold.
It did. That's what started the whole ball rolling.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of shows before The Sopranos that kind of got that ball rolling, like Oz was one of those shows. But again, that was because HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, those channels were able to not be stuck within the, I guess, the censors that network television have. And I think that may be a large part of it. What do you have to say about that, Greg?
I think it's true. I mean, definitely not having censorship.
I'm going to always, come to you right when you're muting yourself.
That's okay. I'm quick. Nobody would have even noticed if you didn't say anything.
Every time from now on, though, I'm going to just ask you a question as soon as I know you're muted.
Well, that's definitely a part of it. It's like TV was neutered. I mean, you couldn't even talk about anything real. You couldn't even have people in the – oh, people don't go to the bathroom. People don't have sex. It's like,
well, you mentioned in a – conversation you and I had the other day where we both watched this TV show Hannibal without realizing it was a network TV show.
Yeah.
And but it was a dealing with incredibly visceral, grotesque images and subject matter. But it was really a really well-made show, which is unusual for network TV. And I think that's maybe where the dividing line is the really good ones don't necessarily come from major network stations. They come from definitely the cable stations.
But I think network's upped its game. Network TV.
Well, other than Hannibal, what other show would you say has that same gravitas to its storylines?
Okay, I haven't watched many TV shows in the past 10 years, network shows, but definitely the comedies are way better. They're way funnier than the shit we grew up with. I've seen a few, like Parks and Rec, I think is way better than any comedy I grew up watching. And then also even some of the dramas I have seen in the past 20 years, 15 years, like just, I know this sounds ridiculous, but Alias with Jennifer Garner, it's an action show. It's basically a superhero comic show.
Yeah.
But it was like way more kick-ass than anything I grew up with. Like that was like, each episode was like a great action film. So I'm not saying it's like adult serious drama, but it was really well done for TV as far as if you like a kick-ass action movie with characters that you give a fuck about. They weren't just cardboard cutouts. They were decent characters, but it was pretty cinematic, meaning like the movies, you know, they can have more spectacle and stuff. So it just seems like TV is up to its game. They would have never done that. They didn't have the money to do it. They realized they had to compete with cable, maybe they just realized, hey, American people don't want to just watch stupid shit on TV. It was a realization.
Well, I think a large part of it comes from the sponsors, too. So the sponsors have a lot of control on the purse strings, whereas if you're dealing with cable, people are spending money on those channels directly, not through advertisers.
Yeah.
So they know what their own subscribers want because they get the money from them and they see what people are paying to go see, like Game of Thrones or what have you.
They definitely have a lot more latitude, and that's why the best stuff on TV is on cable, probably. If you put all the best shows, I'm sure they're not on network TV.
So then you have to look at the movies then. Are the movies you're talking about strictly big screen movies or movies that are on cable? Because the movies on cable are getting better too.
Well, okay, like even like not even the 70s. The 70s to me is a golden age of cinema. But then I think even the late 90s, there was this renaissance where like movies like Being John Malkovich, Boogie Nights, they were kind of big movies. They weren't just like, oh, just playing at the local art house. They were playing in mall theaters. And they were really like serious adult movies about real interesting shit. They would be made like every 3 months, there was a decent movie coming out. And that seems to be gone. Like when I go to the movies now, I go like twice a year. Every coming attraction is for a toy movie or a superhero movie or a sci-fi franchise movie. You won't see one movie that's like basically geared for someone over 14.
What about First Blood Part 5?
That is probably more a skewing adult because most kids don't even know what First Blood is. You'd be like, what the fuck is this? But yeah, it's not that smart.
But it seems to me that, you know, movies, only so many movies, if you think about it from just an economics, numbers, stats perspective, only so many movies can literally be made in a year. And only so many movies can, you know, and the budgets of movies are crazy. And so if you're a movie business person, you've got to go with a safe bet. So toys with a back end, that's a safe bet. Superheroes are been a safe bet for probably the last 20 years. Sci-fi, you know, Star Wars. I mean, how many movies have they, like, just reinvented? Like, we did the Star Trek thing, and now we have Star Trek again, and Captain Kirk is a different person, and it's an alternative universe. And I think movies have found themselves in a box, and what happened was that lane that they owned completely fell apart with the advent of the internet and Netflix and cable television. Suddenly, anyone could make big, huge productions and make a lot of money doing it. And the movies were sort of stuck in a rut. So I think they're a victim of their own business model.
Well, I think also movies have become television, too, to a certain extent, because, like I was saying, the cable channels are creating their own movies. For example, there's this really huge one out that has gotten a lot of really good reviews, whether you like it or not, but it's gotten a lot of good reviews. This recent one with Adam Sandler called Uncut Gems, which people felt was one of the best movies that they'd been out.
That was released in theaters, just so you know, actually.
Right, but it was a Netflix-produced movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right, it was like strictly Netflix. And I think they put it out in the theaters just to give it that option.
You know, for people that don't know Netflix,
yeah. And they've had a few movies like that, too, where they've just been strictly on Netflix. But, you know, Amazon has been doing their own movies. And this has kind of started back with freaking MTV. MTV was doing movies in the theaters as well.
Right. So that's right. Like, MTV Productions. Yeah. That's right.
And so it's like there's this interesting crossover where they're trying to throw quality. But, you know, with anything, there's certainly plenty of crap to go around. And I think if you look into the theaters, there's definitely great movies going on. For another movie that I'd heard a lot of good things about was this movie out of South Korea called Parasite.
It's great. And,
okay, so you've seen that.
I seen it.
Right, and it was in the regular cinemas, right?
It's on Hulu.
It wasn't in
an
art house,
though. Yeah, but then it got pulled because of the pandemic. So then now all the movies are on streaming now.
Right, but it wasn't. It was in the theaters, like
it was in the theaters at the time.
It was a real theatrical release,
right? And so you felt it was a really good movie. I really don't know anything about it, and I'm sure if you said anything, it would probably spoil something. But I doubt I'll see because, you know, I have to be in a certain mood to watch subtitled movies. It's like, do I feel like reading a book today or not? And if I do, then I'll watch a subtitled.
But that movie didn't do like it was. It probably made $20 million. You know, it's like. You'd have to it'd probably
play. We're not
in our
talking
houses.
About the money. We're talking about the.
Well, I'm talking about access. You couldn't see it at the mall, the local Cineplex, Odeon. You know, it was played at the art houses. But when we were kids, those kind of adult films were number one. You know, films about.
Well, there were lots of movies that you could only see at the art houses back in the day, too.
Yeah, but the movies that you could see in every theater across America, like I'm just saying. Deer Hunter again, because that movie's not for kids. It's a very adult film about adult issues and serious drama. Exactly. And it was like.
That's why movies were rated R, Greg, because they weren't for kids.
Yeah, and we don't have that anymore.
That's why Mary Poppins was rated G, but
there's barely any rated R movies. There's barely any rated R movies because it's like, no, we just want all these PG-13 so we can have the most mass audience. It's the blockbuster mentality.
Well,
they
these
want
days,
every
though,
movie to be a blockbuster.
PG-13 is like the old days ours were.
Yeah, probably is.
I know. So.
Well, do you think that, again, going back to, I mean, who the hell goes to movies now anymore, really?
I go at least 5 times a year because part of my tradition with my kids on their birthdays is I take them out to a movie in a theater. And we go have a nice meal somewhere. So, like, every kid, I got 5 kids, so every birthday we're out, except for this during this quarantine when 2 of my kids had birthdays, and we basically rented movies off of Amazon. Don't you think so, Greg? Is that the way to go about doing things?
Yeah, when I had 5 kids, I used to do that, too. I'm good at this.
But, okay, so excluding the Barachi tradition of a movie and dinner with his kid on a birthday, which is very cool, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I will go to a movie. I will go to a movie if I feel like I need to see it on the big screen. Meaning, you know, this is some sort of epic, again, going back to, you know, epic superhero special effects, whatever. It's something you need to see on a big screen to really appreciate that aspect of the art. I'm not going to drop the amount of money that I need to pay to go see Deer Hunter in a theater. But back when Deer Hunter, since we seem to be stuck on that movie, back when Deer Hunter came out, there were no other options to see Deer Hunter but the movies.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think because of this lack of options that's caused that too.
I was just going to say Tarantino's last movie, which is, you know, in the similar 70s vein of movies that aren't slam bang special effects, just
Once
about
Upon
people.
A Time in Hollywood, that one?
Yeah.
I was thinking Hateful Eight, but then I realized it's Once Upon a Time.
I was so excited. I wanted to see it in theaters. And I was glad I did. It was very fun seeing it with an audience. There's still a great thing about going to the movies, watching a movie with people, you know, the laughter, the reactions. I still like going to the movies. I'm just cheap and poor. So it's a luxury.
I go to an art house pretty regularly when the quarantine wasn't happening to see old movies as well as some first run movies too, because we had a local theater, and it's not part of a chain, it's just like a one-off theater that would do, you could see 2 movies for one on Tuesdays, and they had like discounts and they were inexpensive and you could get pizza and beer, and you know, it's like a very comfortable place to go watch a movie. I would go to that almost any time over going to see one in a regular theater, like in the mall or something like that. And I hate going to movies at the mall. That's just not a...
They got those chairs now, though. They got like Barca loungers in the
cinema. Yeah, it's true.
Stuff.
They've made it more comfortable in a couple of places. Yeah. But some places, no. Especially if you're a big fat ass like me and you can't fit in those seats anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm basically in pain for 2 hours.
It's more comfortable than my house. I don't have chairs that nice. Or
you don't have a
so
chair
nice.
In your house.
I do have one chair. It is a, but it's a broken lazy boy that only works half. I can barely kick the thing up, the leg thing up.
I think movies have become, movies and what the content is on big screen and what we call movies is driven, again, by the people who go there. Like, you know, the last time I went to a movie, I think I went and saw the last Star Wars in a movie. There was a few, like, old Star Wars nerds in the crowd. It was mostly young people. And by young people, I mean 20,
everybody
you know,
else.
Maybe 26 to young. Yeah, everybody else. 26 and younger, something like that. Yes. So, I mean, it's a date. You know, there's something about going, you know, taking the girl to the movie. And I think that's still, you know, a thing.
Yeah,
maybe it's not as much a thing now. So if I need to sell movies, I need to sell movies to, you know, 16 to 25 or whatever the age brackets are.
But maybe adults aren't going to movies because they're not giving us anything that we want to see. I mean, I like seeing superhero movies too, but I'd like some good stuff. Every fourth movie, like, give me something with meat on its bones, you know?
Well,
and it doesn't seem like there's anything out there.
Those have definitely been out there. It's just a matter of whether you choose to go see them. Like, there's been a recent adaptation, a new adaptation of another Jane Austen movie that went out. Jane Austen's story was at Emma. And there have been a number of movies that have come out.
I didn't say boring movies. I said adult movies.
Little Women.
I don't just see boring.
Oh, I was going to say, I was already starting to fall asleep when he... I don't even know what he said.
Yeah, you said Jane Austen, and I was like,
Jane
Austen. Okay.
Well, there was a remake of The Invisible Man that was done that didn't necessarily get great reviews, but it was supposed to be a pretty good movie. Done with, from Handmaid's Tale, Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah.
She's
in everything.
Well, somebody needs to be, right? There needs to be somebody in everything.
There you go, Handmaid's Tale, right there. It's on Hulu.
We're back to
way better than way
we
more
spent,
thought provoking
than
any
We spent so much
movie.
Time on Handmaid's Tale last time.
That's because Greg kept bringing it up.
Yeah, I know.
The only reason I brought it this time was to say it's that actress from that show. I should have said from West Wing. That's what I should have said.
Yeah, yeah. And then I would have gone
or
off
Mad
on a tangent.
Right, or Mad Men. Mad Men or right. And so there's another great show that was on cable as well. Mad Men is a fantastic show. So yeah, it's great. It's kind of like... It's a second golden age of television, starting back essentially with The Sopranos, right? Because, and then heralded in essentially through HBO and through cable, because there have been some shows not on HBO that have been really good too, like Dexter and one show that I watched not that long ago, Black Sails. I really enjoyed. Weeds was a good comedy that was a long-form show that was on Showtime.
We also can't discount the fact that because of The Sopranos' success, the stigma of working in TV is gone. So now we have major directors from the world of movies making TV shows now. That was not really done when we were kids.
Leading
that too,
shows.
Exactly. Right. That was when we were kids. It was like, that was the end of your career if you were on TV. So it was like Robert De Niro would be like, I'm going to be in a TV miniseries.
But there's still something to be said for movie stars, though. You know, they do tend to have a little more cachet associated with them. And like, if you're big in the movies, that makes you a bit bigger than being on the small screen.
Yeah, but directors did too, like Sidney Lumet and all those great 70s, 60s directors. They never did TV after they made it. They were like, that's slummy. You know,
I thought it was really interesting that Scorsese did a movie for Netflix. There was that recent one about Jimmy Hoffa. What was the name of it?
The Irishman.
Yeah, it sucked.
I disagree, but it's slow. It's very slow.
It's slow.
Parts about it, but I tell you, whenever they tried to make De Niro and Pacino look young, that was the most ridiculous freaking thing that I've seen in a while, and it totally took me out of the enjoyment of the movie.
You know, I saw an interview with them.
Because De Niro was not acting like a guy of that age. He was acting like a guy of his age who was made up to look like a guy of that age. It was just not, it wasn't working.
Even admit it. They're like Al Pacino. There's one scene where he's supposed to be playing like 40-year-old Jimmy Hoffa and he's 70. And he had to get out of a chair. And you know, there's a huge difference between the way a 70-year-old guy gets out of a chair. And they had to do 10 takes. They kept going like, nah, you're 64 now. We got to get you down to 40. The seventh take, they were like, almost 48.
And they think, you know, after, like, 10, he's going to be able to do it easier?
He never came close. They just said, fuck it. We'll just suspension of disbelief, so hopefully no one will notice, you know.
Or maybe just,
I was having a bad day that day as a 40-year-old.
Cut that scene out, probably.
Yeah. The best thing. He twisted his ankle.
Or maybe he just didn't get it. Yeah, that would have been the way to do it. I'm like, oh, my leg is hurting. And then he would sound like an 80-year-old. Hey, my leg, it's hurting me. It hurts. It hurts. I can't get out of the chair now.
Yeah, The Irishman was not good. I watched it. I wouldn't say it sucked. Like, there was enough that carried me through the slow-ass, however the hell long it was.
Oh, it's kind of disappointing. It was kind of formulaic hours. From my point of view. But still, yeah. Would you consider that TV or movies?
That's a good point.
What's the difference now?
That was Netflix. Yeah, that was TV. And I'm saying, I think that's another thing.
But it's still
thing,
a movie, right? So is
great
it a movie of the week type movie, or is it...
whatever, that's part of TV. Like,
my hands
are
like really big now because I'm
I know.
A laptop camera.
Like the anti-Trump. Like, but I'm saying that's another thing is now that directors like Scorsese would rather take The Irishman and Netflix because he knows they're not going to have studio heads saying, oh, 3.5 hours, you can't keep people in the seats that long, you got to trim it. He knew he had total carte blanche freedom as a director. As an artist, if you will. That's why he went to Netflix. He was like, I could do this movie. Did I say we?
Right. You know, and that's part of the, I guess, as a student of movies, specifically in films.
Wait, you're a student of movies?
Yeah.
Movies are your teacher?
I am, too.
Movies teach you?
Yes, they've taught me many things.
I studied them.
What have you learned recently from movies?
That Darth Vader is Luke's father.
I said recently.
Oh, recently.
That if you watch a movie at the 20-minute mark, that's the key mark. You watch 20 minutes in, any movie you want to watch it, 20 minutes in, something happens. Major.
20 minutes in, something happens. Yes, I'll agree with that. Something
significant, dipshit. Significant.
A door is opened.
I think that was implied, but we're getting back to that.
That actor took a nap at 20 minutes.
So Mr. Quibble.
That'd be like worth checking out, actually, just every 20-minute mark. What happens?
I swear to God, if you watch a movie that's 120 minutes to, you know, 160 minutes long, you will find that at the 20-minute mark, I've even set my little thing on Netflix and gone, let's just see.
Your little thing?
Yeah, I put my penis on the
Your ding-a-ling?
He set his little thing on it. What do you mean you set your little thing? What are you talking
when
about?
When I move my cursor to the... Let me explain it to you like you're 3 years old.
Please
do. You know, there's a bar at the bottom that shows you the progress of the movie, right?
Okay.
You seen that, Matt?
On Netflix?
On anything.
Generally, when I'm watching it, I don't see anything like that. I just see the movie.
Well, you need to pay attention. Okay. So there is a progress bar.
I guess
at the
if
bottom
I paused it, then I would see the bar. Yes.
Yes. Well, you can see the bar even if you don't pause it.
Oh.
So if you put your cursor there, you can see it moving along, and you can move the cursor to the 20-minute, 22-minute
Oh, you're watching part. Stuff on your computer.
That's because that's all I do.
Oh, okay.
I don't fucking have
that's
a
why,
television.
That's why it wasn't making sense. No, because I stream through Roku to watch Netflix. So.
Oh, I haven't had a television, an honest-to-God television in my house. In probably 10 years, maybe
then
11.
You're unqualified to have this discussion.
But no, because I watch television. I just watch it on my computer now.
It's no longer television. It's computer vision.
And it's a good point, Matt, because like half of the things you guys mentioned about what was on cable television and this show and that show, I have no clue what the hell you're talking about.
You don't know what you're missing.
Well, like, for example, what do you mean you didn't know what we were talking about?
The Wire?
The Wire is on HBO. I think they started putting it on Netflix or somewhere else. I haven't seen it. I really do want to, but I haven't seen it.
It was Hannibal? On Amazon for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then Amazon, well, I mean, it's still there for rent, but you can't watch it for free anymore.
You can't watch it on Prime.
Right, not anymore. I think most of the HBO shows they've taken off of Prime, the main ones. But if you've never seen The Wire, literally the best television show ever made.
Literally.
I've heard that. Yeah. And
that's what makes it. But you have to, the first six episodes are hard to get through. It's kind of slow moving. You get through the first six episodes from that point on, it becomes, and if you keep watching the other seasons, it becomes essentially the best television show that was ever made. And I mean above The Sopranos and above all the other ones, in my opinion. So
that's the problem with a movie is a movie doesn't have that luxury. A movie can't drag out for 5 hours.
Right. Unless it's some Polish auteur.
Right, and hope that you catch on, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, a movie's got about 20 to 30 minutes to catch you. If it hasn't, that movie sucks. It's lost you.
All right, so when you're watching your movies with your little thing, so what you're saying is that...
Well, there are certain movies I watch with my little thing, and there are certain movies I don't. But sometimes I use my cursor, and I watch the little progress bar.
Sometimes he watches his big thing. He uses his big thing.
Yeah, so just to clarify.
I noticed that your finger is also orange whenever you put it near the camera.
You know what I discovered the other night? And it doesn't have anything to do with that, necessarily.
Orange
maybe
fingers?
That is, I don't know what. I bought a bag of those Fire Cheetos.
Okay.
You know what I'm
talking
about?
The red ones?
The red ones, the hot ones.
Yeah.
I don't know what they use, the Cheeto, you know, powder on those. Uh-huh. I have washed my hands coronavirus, you know, three or four times. I still have, like an orange tint on this hand.
Yeah, that stuff's like a Sharpie.
I used to always call that stuff cheese cum. It would just, you know, stick to your fingers. The stuff from Cheetos.
So have you had a lot of cum sticking to your fingers?
It's cheese. Cheese cum.
Cheese cum.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm saying you made the analogy, so obviously
that was simply an analogy, yes, because it's a similar
experience for you.
Texture, I think.
Texture.
Yes.
You got some texture. Yes. You're
all
a doctor.
Up.
It's after you go through like a bag of it.
Drink some more water.
Drink some. Water.
Something. You need to hydrate, man. You need some milk.
That's all that shoots out of her. It's just powder.
It makes a puff sound. When you come, it goes.
So, all of my children are a little dusty.
They're little dust devils. That's what you call them.
Dust devils, yeah.
So you pat them on the back, just comes off their shoulders.
Yeah.
Or we were talking about something.
Can I just add real quick is that the streaming thing is also a very important thing in just like film history. The fact that just as there were short stories, and then the first person made the novel. I don't know if it was Cervantes or whoever, Daniel Defoe with Robinson Crusoe.
I need to tell you something really interesting about Cervantes since you brought him up. Sorry to interrupt you, but
that's
all
right. Well, I can come back to it.
So my wife and I just recently watched 12 Years a Slave on TV, which is a fantastic movie. It came out in 2013. Definitely worth watching. And then I decided today to watch some weird little clip from some British guy who was saying, 12 Years a Slave was not written by Solomon Northup, the main character. It was written by this white guy. And I looked it up, and he was a ghostwriter, but he took the information from the actual guy. Anyway, point being, he brought up Miguel Cervantes, the guy who wrote Don Quixote, was actually taken as a slave in Africa for 5 years of his life, and that it was a white European who was taken as a slave in Africa. And he's like, you're never going to see a movie called 5 Years a Slave about Cervantes. And I started thinking, you know, actually,
I would make that movie.
That would be a pretty good movie.
Fascinating. It's like you have the guy who wrote Don Quixote.
Well, of course. I mean, Rome did that way back. They used to take slaves of everybody that they conquered.
In Europe time. Yeah, you're right. Rome had everyone as a slave. Conquered.
I mean, slavery was a common thing going throughout history, unfortunately.
I know there was indentured servitude, but I never heard of, this guy's just his whole life, a white slave in Europe.
This is a classic example of that sounds like a decent movie and a good screenplay. You'd never pitch that in Hollywood, but you might pitch it to Amazon or Netflix or Hulu or somebody like that. And that's part of the problem is that Hollywood is just become this, it's like almost, it's like an entertainment government.
They just want blockbusters.
They just need blockbusters, and they don't want to shake the boat. And the guy that plays the retard in the movie gets the Oscar, and that's the way it is. And here we go.
Wait, are you watching Tropic Thunder again? Is that what you're basing that off of?
No. Thunder?
In Tropic Thunder, they say you never go full retard. You don't get the Oscar. You just go three quarters. And plus, you know that that word is an offensive word to use. Although Greg would disagree with that. He's all about calling.
I still don't use it because I know people find it offensive. But I think
I would use it with you guys, but I wouldn't use it in public.
Well, you're not with us.
Brendan, you just use it in public because you said it on a podcast that at least 20 people are listening.
Well, then I would suggest they DM me at QSB Law Offices and tell me all the horrible things that I need to know about that on Twitter.
DM or tweet you.
They can tweet, they can DM. I mean, if they really want to get obnoxious, they can DM me. I don't care.
So I've told Matt this before that I think I'm going to go off and take this even further, is that I don't understand why retarded is so bad. It's a kind word. It just means slower. It's like, that is a condition, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you change the name to is going to become a slur. Like when we were kids, they said, no, they're special. It took all us kids like a year to be like, special, you're special. Like we turned it into a pejorative and then they had to change it again. So retarded isn't cruel. It means you're slow. You're a little slow. You're not like a moron. You're not fucking unteachable.
But it's become a pejorative.
Exactly. Yeah. And it always will, no matter what you call it.
Well, lots of words were not pejoratives when they started, and they have become that. There's certain words right now, if you use them, you will get in big trouble, but they weren't necessarily a pejorative when they started.
Because they're describing things that are pejorative. They're things. It's not good to be retarded, whatever you want to call it. Mentally handicapped. It's not a positive thing.
Wait, did you
thing.
Just
Nobody's...
say candy-capped?
I hope I didn't. I think I said handicapped.
You're mentally candy-capped. You've got like a little Hershey's Kiss on top of your head.
No, it means you have a lack of candy, which I have no candy in my house.
You get a certain amount of candy and you don't get no more. You are
I feel mentally candy-capped right now.
You get no more than that
one
level.
I wish I had some candy
in my house, but I
don't. You get
five Mr. Good Bars and that's it. You're done or you get diabetes. You are candy-capped.
So I'm just saying no matter what you change the word to, every 20 years you're going to say, no, that word's now pejorative. Let's call it this. That word will become pejorative. In 20 years, you have to change it again.
Yeah.
Retarded isn't That's this how, cruel thing.
Well, it's become that cruel thing.
It always will.
It is not.
But it always will.
But it is.
So what do you want to call it?
It is to who? Who exactly?
To people who have children that are affected by that. They get very offended by their kids being called that. And it depends on how it's being used as well. You know,
exactly.
Hold on. If I walk up to a woman who has a child with Down syndrome, let's say, and I say, oh, hey, your kid looks retarded. Yeah, I'm being an asshole, obviously.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I'm talking to my friend at the bar and I say, did you see that new policy about vacations? That's fucking retarded. First of all, I'm referring to a policy, not a person. And I'm just saying it's back. We can't take this too far. We're going to have zero humor. We're going to have zero entertainment. We're all just going to be worried about what everybody's saying.
I don't know about that. I don't know that we would be. I think it's just a matter of deciding how much of an asshole we choose to be. And that's, I think, really what it comes down to. I do know that, yeah, you can't take it too far. Prime example. You might have been in Washington, D.C. at the time this particular scandal happened. And I want everybody to hear me very, very clearly because I am not using a pejorative term. I'm using a word that has to do with being miserly and giving out money in small amounts. And that word is called niggardly.
You can't say that anymore.
Hold on, Greg. Niggardly. I just want everyone to hear that.
I know
so
the
that
word.
Particular word was taken in, was used by somebody at a committee meeting in Washington, D.C., and they essentially had to resign over the use of that word because it sounded so similar to the obviously very offensive word that begins with the letter N, too. So the reason why I was being very careful about that is so you recognize the difference people who are could potentially be going up in arms about the
Well, those people were ignorant. Well, they didn't know that their vocabulary
they were
was
retarded.
Bad. But they were fucking retarded.
But the thing is that it completely affected this guy's life because of that. Right. And so that's why it's going to continue to occur. So we have to find a way where there is a happy medium. If you start finding out that there are words that are incredibly offensive to people, it's not a bad thing to stop saying them. You could say something else. Right.
I know.
And yeah, eventually it may become into another pejorative in and of itself. And then you shift again. And that's the nature of language. Language is fluid. Language changes. That's something that's natural to humanity. That's why we have people who have a lot of different accents. That's why we have lots of different languages. Things changed along the way to me.
I do that,
things.
Matt. I go along with the flow because I don't want to piss people off. But like, it's just getting ridiculous. Like, you can't say senior citizen anymore. It's honored citizen. And it's like,
what do you mean you can't say senior citizen?
It says that. I see that a lot of places where like please, you know, like instead of senior citizen, they'll have some euphemism. Like,
well, they're not. Yeah, they're not.
People make fun of old people.
They can't say you can't say senior citizen. They're just trying to make them feel better by calling them honored citizens. It's
okay.
It's not designed to replace the word. It's just a different adjective. That's all.
So okay, I didn't know that. What word am I supposed to replace retarded with? Stupid, I guess.
Well, I don't know. It depends upon how you're using it. But I'm just saying, like, the term retard is in and of itself the pejorative. Being retarded, you know, once again, it does, the word itself means slow, but the fact is that it has been used as a pejorative against a certain class of people. So, yeah, I mean, that's the question is, what else could you say instead? You could say that thing is stupid, and I don't think you'd be offending anybody.
What about stupid people?
Well, I think it depends upon the person that you're calling stupid. If it's a person who generally thinks okay, but they do something stupid, you say, that was stupid. Well, you go, okay, that was stupid. But I don't think you call them, you're a stupid. Or
I might.
Although, you know, I've certainly given Greg my share of pejoratives over the last few episodes.
Oh, God.
Here,
yes.
Here all and there. I have been a bully. Greg, I have bullied you in many ways, you know, and I wish I could say I'm sorry about it, but
you know, my sister's friend listened to the podcast. He's like, God, Matt really bullies Greg, and he's so mean to him. And it's like, no, you don't understand. That's they're good friends. That's their relationship.
Oh, but it's true though. I
but
do.
If they didn't know that we were pals, it would sound like you were just like calling me a retard.
Yeah,
the only
reason I do it with you is because you can take it and you give it back to me.
Exactly.
And so
that's what friends do.
If you could say we're friends, you know, because again,
yeah, we're acquaintances, colleagues.
We've met recently, occasionally, every once in a while.
Good to know. Good to know.
Who are
I know
you
where
again?
I stand.
What is your name? You're a stupid. Anyway, so
this brings us all back to movies. How their Mr. Show once had a fake award show called the Cyrus T. Dewey Awards. That was an award show just for retarded performances in films.
Okay.
Since those are the ones
that
everyone
the
seems to like. No, it was Mr. Show's a comedy show. They were parroting that whole concept that any actor, you know, at a bid for Oscar, they always do the full retard, as the movie says.
Right, from
Tropic Thunder.
Right.
But they did push it further, where there was a whole award show that was just, every award was for, like, the best performance. You know, they were all up against each other.
Well, it's interesting bringing up Tropic Thunder just because, you know, there's the whole issue of Robert Downey Jr. doing blackface in that movie, and they're wanting to actually, if you believe in this term cancel culture, that they want to cancel out Robert Downey Jr. for having done that in that movie. And if they didn't see the movie, I can understand that, but if you see in the movie, issue is addressed within the movie itself.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I'm gonna quibble with you on your words. If you believe in that, is this a religion? You, if you believe in cancel culture, like it exists or it doesn't exist?
Yes.
So you believe it, or is your proposition that cancel culture as a thing doesn't exist? It's
I don't believe it exists. I think it's like something, I think it's a label that people have put on people basically boycotting things.
What about
Louis
C.K.?
It's just a new term.
What
about
no.
him? You just talked
he
about
got
him.
Canceled.
Well, I mean, his show got canceled.
Yeah, his show got canceled.
His, every show, comedy
culture.
Performance, he got canceled.
He did whatever he did, and I'm not here to defend Louis C.K., although on the scale of 1 to 10 on what he did, if Jeffrey Epstein's a 10, he's got to be a 2 or a 3. But be that as it may, that guy lost his job. His whole career was over. They almost ended another comedian because he had kind of an awkward date, and everybody went ape shit about that. So to say that cancel culture doesn't exist, if you don't like the term, fine. Or if you think it's overused, that's okay too. But to think for a second that it doesn't exist in our current society, that if somebody does something wrong, that Twitter can't go fucking ape shit on them and they could lose their job. I mean, you just mentioned an example where the guy said the word niggardly, which doesn't have anything to do with the other N-word. He lost his job. That was just an early precursor to what we've come to now.
Well, I don't know that it's an early precursor. It's something that's been around for a long, long time. It's just
now
it's more pronounced because of the internet.
Bigger now.
Well,
it's
definitely
bigger now.
But I think because now there is this revolutionary process of thought that is going on, right? There's things that have changed so dramatically in terms of just human rights violations and civil rights violations and abuse and assholeness against people who did nothing to deserve any of that. And the Me Too movement is totally valid as well in terms of what Louis C.K. did. Fuck him. I mean, you want to give him a 2 or 3? No, he can be up there with, like, near Epstein. He was
really?
He was whacking off while people were having
meetings. You're saying, this is exactly
I'm
my
saying
problem.
You're saying, as a
fake lawyer, you're saying that trafficking underage girls and having them have sex with multinational political leaders and videotaping it is the same as calling a girl on the phone and saying, hey, I'm jerking off right now.
No, he wasn't calling.
He didn't just do that.
First of all, he wasn't calling them on the phone.
He did that in front of them.
With him.
Yes.
Okay, that's much different.
I'm not saying that was all, but I'm saying that
I'm not saying it's exactly the same. I'm saying that it needs to be.
It's not even close.
It's a matter of degree. It's still bad. It's still bad.
It's still
bad. Let's all agree. It's a bad thing to do.
It's a bad thing to do. It's poor taste.
I'm fine.
But it's
not I didn't want to actually get into that particular detail about what Epstein got involved. The only point I'm trying to make is that he deserved to be castigated and publicly shamed for it. That's what he deserved.
Yes, I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree with a lot of
Epstein,
the
I don't
stuff.
Know if it was illegal. Epstein should go to jail. And, well, you know, whether he killed himself or not, I don't really give a shit. The fact is, I'm actually happy the guy's dead. I don't know why anybody cares. Anyway.
And Brendan, I would just like to say, like, even though I'm so annoyed by some of people on my side of the fence who get so sensitive and want to censor things and cancel things coming around back in the 40s or something where people could just run around just, like, yelling racial slurs at people. You know.
Okay, well, I guess I'm not. I get what you're saying. I totally get
But
what
oh,
you're
I'm
saying.
Annoyed too by some of this culture that's going on. I'm bamboozled because there's always their side that wanted to censor things. As I'm a flaming liberal, I'm a pinko. So I'm like, wait, my side wants to censor shit? That's not the way it's supposed to work. I thought the basics of liberalism was free speech. That's
right.
The core.
Right. That's my
no
point.
No censoring.
So it's like who what censorship do you want? Do you want censorship at the hands of the church, or do you want censorship at the hands of a bunch of college professors or wild crazy people on Twitter?
Well, I wouldn't mind censorship of people like hate speech. Yeah, censor that. Anyone could, any side censor that. I'll be happy with that. I don't want people hurting other people's feelings and being dicks.
Sure.
But also,
I'm not even necessarily interested in the censoring of the people. I'm just interested in there being the fair play. In other words, if you're going to say the things that you say, then you need to be able to accept those consequences.
Right? Well, where does that start and end?
Matt? Yeah,
that's a different podcast. we could bring that up into something like we could go into the concept of censorship and where does it begin, where is it? And maybe we should do that for like another episode. You know, right, Greg?
Put a pin in it for the next episode.
Put a pin in which, Greg?
In the what you just said.
What did I just say?
That could be another, the censorship issue.
Okay, good. Just checking.
And cancel culture. We could go into this more, or we could just go into this anyway, because TV versus movies wasn't that great a client, to be honest.
This is
way more interesting to me talking about this shit.
Well, it's getting very visceral.
How we got here was that suggesting that Hollywood is more confined by those issues than television is, or let's say cable streaming services are. So they can do stuff that's way more controversial, way more out there, whereas a movie is under much more stricter regulation, I guess, even if it's self-imposed.
I think it's economically imposed. They just want blockbusters, so they can't afford to offend anyone. They want 80% of people to like the movie and not be pissed off. Netflix, streaming, even network TV can more niche. Can we like... Some people aren't going to like this. This might be offensive or a little too out there.
I think these days people are just still trying to find a common ground for themselves in terms of what to be offended by, what to believe, right? What is it? What's the thing that's supposed to upset me these days?
That's true.
What am I allowed to be upset by? You know,
I know what I'm upset by.
What's that, Greg?
Unmarked minivans, Gestapo tactics in Portland. Snatching people off the streets.
Soccer moms have been driving unmarked minivans for years.
I wish they were soccer moms, but they're
Wouldn't that be funny
agents.
If they were the ones who are actually doing the kidnapping of the protesters on the streets of Portland?
And just giving them baths and haircuts.
It's actually the Karens. The Karens have organized in the vans, and they're taking back America.
That's right. They're basically rounding up the protesters and hitting them all on the back of their wrists with wooden spoons. Well, I think we've had a pretty elevated discussion here. Maybe we should deal with the censorship issue in the next podcast. What do you guys think?
Sure, but we're going to piss off a lot of people, that's for sure.
Well, I think this particular episode, I think those people who listen to it, if they don't have thick skins, there will be some people being offended by, I think, something.
Oh, definitely.
Each of us had said at any point in this particular podcast this time around. But hey, why don't we take a break to see how much money we've made so far?
Yes, let's do that.
So at this point, wow, we've gone over 207 total plays. So
Wow. That's
a marker. We have an estimated audience of 30 people.
Woo!
Fascinating, actually. And we've made $1.70 so far.
Wait, does that mean that 30 people are listening to it 7 times?
They can mean one person has listened to it 200 times, and then the other 29 people have listened to it the other
way. Yeah, that's more likely.
Right. No, so we'll do the breakdown. So our last episode has already gotten 17 plays, which is more, I think, than any other episode had over the course of a week. The fourth client is doing quite well. Idiocracy is now. Has gotten 35 plays. Our third client, Song Lyrics on Trial, got 26. Second client, both parts, have gotten 31 and 33 plays, respectively. And then our first client, which is Favorite Ethnic Foods, has gotten 47 plays.
And what was the client of last episode that got the most plays?
It has got the most plays.
Sex sells.
Always.
It does. Apparently it does.
Well, it's only got 17 plays. It still is.
It's got more. You said the most.
No, I said it's gotten more than others have at this stage, but that doesn't mean it's because of the topic.
Yeah, because people will go back and, listen to others.
Yeah, it doesn't mean for this because of that particular topic.
Okay, I think our next client should be sexy lingerie. Everything should be about sex from now on, and we'll see if our numbers get bigger.
I think it'll probably get desensitized, only unless
my
we all start wearing. How did we? You know, we didn't have to devolve into that particular topic.
Oh, we already have. We got nowhere to go.
We were having an actually quasi-intellectual discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more pseudo-intellectual.
Pseudo. Pseudo.
Yes.
Alt-intellectual.
Alt-intellectual discussion about topics we have our own points of view on. So,
maybe that's what we should promote ourselves as, alt-intellectuals.
I don't know that I like the term alt.
I don't, and that's why I like telling us that.
We were coming up with all sorts of names before when we were thinking about putting this together. The Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker was just kind of a thing that I came up with one day by accident. And then Greg was like, yes, I like it. But we had other stuff like mansplaining. That was like going to be one potential one. And then there was like old cranky idiots was, I think, another potential.
I don't want to be an old cranky idiot just yet. I'm only 51, dude. We can
I'm 52.
I hate to tell you, you're four years away from honored citizen discounts.
Honored citizens discounts.
At Luby's
I'm okay
cafeteria.
With being called an old cranky man. I'm not ready to somebody gives me some discounts. I'm all for it.
You're above middle age, my friend. You're definitely
I'm aware of how math works. I got it.
I'm becoming crankier, though. I see it in myself. I have, less patience with shit that pisses me off. It's, scary. I'm going to be that old guy. Get off my lawn. I'm like, fuck, how did I be?
Yeah, if you had a lawn to get people off.
Exactly. No, I do.
You're my get off my stoop. Why are you hanging out there?
Get off the alley where I live in the dumpster. Get out of my alley.
You live in a dumpster?
Oh, I'm sure people imagine that when they hear me talk.
It's a pretty good looking dumpster.
He's a dumpster living guy.
I've had people think I was a hobo the way I dress. I'm very slobby, slovenly.
I think a hobo doesn't get used enough these days, the term hobo.
Apparently
it's
offensive.
Do they still carry the stick with the bag on the end? Is that still a hobo?
The bindle? Bindle? Is that called a bindle, I think?
Let's just say it is. I think so, but I don't remember.
I think in cartoons it is, but no one's ever done that. Just like an organ grinder and a monkey that's never existed. It just exists in cartoons.
I think organ grinders and monkeys did exist.
I don't think, I've never seen a
and
photo
I think
of one.
They might still exist, actually.
Never seen a photo of one, never seen one. Have you?
I've seen photos.
You have seen photos. Okay.
Yeah, but they may have been movie stills.
What happened was that the organ grinders and the monkeys got canceled because they were subjecting the monkeys to oppression.
Yeah, those monkeys did not have good lives.
Monkey slaves.
Those monkeys were beaten a lot.
And what kind of organs were they grinding anyway? And it's like
the monkeys' organs,
kidneys,
like
yeah.
the liver and the kidney of the
they
monkey.
They were grinding
Louis C.K.'s organs. Those were the organs that were being ground.
Right. Well, on that note, I think we've come to a good conclusion. It's like whose organs get to be ground? Yeah, there's a lot of hate going on out there. I think maybe we should finally bite the bullet and address it in the next episode.
Everyone's going to want to hear what three guys over 50 have to say about
that's
the
right,
issues.
Because we are the enemy. So it's like, what do we have to say?
Exactly.
Nothing. We are cancel culture because we cancel ourselves.
Oh, we're the absolute worst.
That's the part of the preview that I mentioned to people is that, you know, our opinions don't mean anything. It's like, it's just our opinions. We don't expect anybody to believe it or to agree with it or anything. If it's slightly entertaining, cool. Listen to it more often. You know, if it's
I just hope they don't hate me for it. That's all I care about.
Basically, people, if you don't like us, fuck off. That's really what it comes down to.
That's my attitude in life.
I want that 1,000 people that really are like, yeah, these guys get me.
It's all going to be like
out of those people.
Disillusioned libertarians. That's probably what it's going to be.
There's quite a bit of those. That's not a small marketplace.
Yes, so much disillusionment in this world. But you know, it's like revolution is in the air. To quote Bob Dylan, it's
Ron Paul is a listener.
I don't think that Ron Paul is. I doubt very much.
He loves us.
Sure. Yeah, Ron and Rand together. They link arms and they listen to us.
Who was that little elf guy in the 80s who ran for president? Lyndon LaRouche. Wasn't he a libertarian?
No, you're talking about Ross Perot?
Thank you, Ross Perot. That's the right bit.
No, Perot is
so
independent.
Yeah, but was he a libertarian kind of?
Perot started the Reform Party.
Yeah.
And I remember he had charts a lot. He liked graphs and charts. That's all I remember about him.
Yeah,
and he looked like an elf.
He was an interesting guy.
A pixie.
Sure.
He was a smarter Trump.
He was one of the first billionaires running for president, is what he was.
Ah.
I don't think he was a billionaire, but he had a lot of money.
Yeah,
close to a billion. All right, so thank you, guys. We're going to, I think, just end off here. This has been the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker Computer Telecast, where any advice has been designed purely for amusement and deep-sea diving. Please take a candy on your way out, pet the lion tamer, and subscribe to this computer telecast if you know it's good for you. The law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker deny all culpability in today's events and are not to be confused with real law offices that have a secretary and books and stuff. Thank you all. Have a good day.